From Savannah, Georgia, we bring you the international broadcast again, Overcomer. Our magazine goes into 15,000 homes, and we'd like to have one coming your way this month. Be sure to get a pencil and paper ready so that you can have our address to write for your free copy of the Overcomer International Magazine. This magazine goes into the islands of the sea, into Canada, and all over the United States. We'd like to send one to you, free and postpaid, just for the asking. By the way, here's Andre Crouch singing that beautiful song, Hallelujah. Join in and let's praise God together with him today, shall we? You're listening to Brother Stair, America's praying prophet. I'll be back in just a moment.
I want you right now, in simple childlike faith, to slip up your hand, regardless of what problem you face, and praise his name. He'll minister to you. Just in these short two moments, everybody, lift your hand.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God, for little things that often come our way, the things we take for granted but don't mention when we pray, the unexpected courtesy, the thoughtful, kindly deed, a hand reached out to help us in the time of sudden need. Oh, make us more aware, dear God, of little daily graces that come to us with sweet surprise from never dreamed of places.
Listen, it's merely man's search for God. We're speaking about a relationship. And we want to just let you know that there are thousands here tonight that have found the answer to life. I want everybody to say who this answer is. What is his name? Say it again. Jesus. His power in the name of
Jesus.
His healing in the name of
Jesus.
His salvation in the name of
Jesus.
The Bible says the demons tremble at the sound of that name. Jesus, my sweet rose of Sharon, my lily of the valley. Oh, that's the reason I say that.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other.
Yes, there's your old Andre Crouch singing Jesus is the answer. Say, I want to remind you, we're going to be having another camp meeting at the Walterboro Campground for 10 great days under the gospel tent, beginning Friday, September the 1st at 8 p.m. through Sunday, September the 10th. Two services every day, 11 o'clock and 8 p.m. Why don't you come and spend a day or two, or come and spend the whole time, especially over the Labor Day weekend. Come and be with us and enjoy God's richest blessings at the Walterboro Overcomer Campground, located 4 miles north of Walterboro, South Carolina, on Highway 15, 5 miles off of Interstate 95, 45 miles west of Charleston, 70 miles north of Savannah, Georgia. We invite you to come. The telephone number at the campground is 803. That's the area code, 803, number 538-3892. 3838392. Address all correspondence and requests for prayer. Send all love gifts and donations to me, Brother Stair, Post Office Box 24 in Savannah, Georgia. That zip code is 31402. Let's hear a little bit more of Andre Crouch with this. Jesus is the answer for all you there in your hospital room, behind prison bars, or just shut in your house and you're feeling bad and sad. Well, Jesus is the answer.
Jesus is the way.
Oh,
that you think you cannot fly. I know your skies are dark, you think the sun won't shine. In case you don't know, but the word of God is true, and everything he promised, he will do it for you. That's the reason I say,
Jesus is the answer.
The world
of today,
above it there's no other.
I believe the most remarkable message that was ever given by Almighty God to the human race was the one found in Matthew 1:21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I believe that the most complete message that was ever uttered from the mouth of Jesus Christ were his last words on Calvary when he cried, "It is finished." Did you know that the death of Jesus Christ was a genuine miracle? Jesus' death was not an ordinary death. It was astonishing. Matthew 27:54, it reads like this. The centurion who was charged with the killing of Jesus, he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." This centurion had hung many men upon crosses in his days. Yet he watched the death of Jesus Christ and knew that it was not the nails in his hands, nor in his feet, nor the crown of thorns on his brow, or the whipping of the stripes upon his back that took the life of Jesus. If you remember very carefully, Jesus said, "No man is going to take my life. I'm going to lay it down." And so when Jesus laid his life down, the Bible said he looked up and cried, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost and said, "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." Jesus gave his life. When Pilate heard Jesus was already dead, he couldn't believe it. He sent for the centurion himself to hear it from his own lips. You find that in Mark 15:44. Even that wasn't enough. Soldiers were then dispatched to Calvary to make sure the job was done. When they came to Jesus, they too were astonished to find him already dead. The reference is found in John 19:33. Now, what made his death so astonishing? You see, it takes a long time to die by crucifixion. This was a death devised to torment and cause agony and suffering upon vicious criminals, that it might be a deterrent to other criminals. Jesus was hung between two thieves. If you remember very carefully, they deserve to die, as one of them said. Jesus had no reason to die, except he chose to die for your sins and my sins. Death comes slowly on a cross. Sometimes it even takes weeks. Those merely tied to the crossbar were left to starve. Those nailed were given a stupefying drink to deaden the agony, that they might suffer longer. The suffering was intense. Traumatic fever occurred from the inflammation of the wounds. Arteries surcharged with blood produced throbbing headaches. Despite exposure, thirst, and tetanus, death never came before 3 days, and usually it took at least a week. It's not easy to kill a man by the cross method, but Jesus died in just 6 hours. Shortly after Jesus was nailed, he was offered that stupefying drink, and he refused it, wanting nothing in his system to deaden his senses. Read Matthew 27:34. He needed all of his faculties for the awesome work just ahead of him. The first 3 hours was fairly quiet. Then around noon, he gave forth that terrible shout, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" During the next 3 hours, something went on you and I cannot fathom. All of our sins were laid on our Savior, and he became our sin offering. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We cannot possibly know the spiritual agony he endured for us, but in the process he secured and bought and paid for our salvation. At 3 p.m., the darkness lifted, and Jesus said, "I'm thirsty." Why would he accept a drink now? The atonement was accomplished. He had finished the work he had come to do in the flesh. Ah, but see what he was still alive. His atoning work was finished before he died. How do we know? He said so. As soon as it was done, he accepted the sour wine, stupefying drink, and cried, "It is finished." Then he did the astonishing thing. John 19:30 said he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. Note that he was still in good shape. His head didn't fall limp against his chest as if his last bit of energy was gone. The scripture said he bowed it. Why, he even shouted with a loud voice, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." He was plenty strong, nowhere near death when the miracle happened. He merely did something you and I can't do. He dismissed himself from his own body. The cross didn't kill Jesus. His death was miraculous. Jesus had that kind of power. John 10:17-18, here's what he said. "No man can take my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." Jesus could leave his body at will. Death had no power over him. He had the power over death. All the gospel writers agree. He gave up his spirit. Not a one says he died. Once released from the body, needed for the revelation of God and the atonement, Jesus now could move on to the greater work before him. A greater work? Yes. Until he made the transition from flesh to spirit, there was no way for him to apply that finished work to you and me. There is no way to connect men's soul with the cross physically. People must receive Christ personally in their lives if his death and life are to be theirs. There is no other way. Until Jesus made the transition from flesh to spirit, he was not available. By his physical death, he simply shifted from phase one to phase two of his ministry, and he did it supernaturally. Did you know that? Did you know that few Christians have noticed how Jesus' death was such a miracle? Most think the cross killed him. Yet a closer look reveals his death was wholly apart from the cross. That was merely the place God chose for his exodus. Yes, it's true. Something did happen to his body as well. A soldier thrust his lance into Jesus' side after his body had died, and that lance performed an autopsy. And gushing blood and water tells us a story by themselves. The facts are there on the surface of God's word for everyone to see. Have you noticed how God hides amazing truths in the most obvious places? Perhaps that's why they remain undiscovered, or they cannot be seen by the average Christian. Be honest now. Did you know Jesus' death was supernatural? Yet, as you look at the facts in the text, it is obvious. He laid down his life. He bowed his head. He gave up his spirit. Literally, hundreds of remarkable truths are hidden just that way. The average Christian never learns of them until someone points them out, and that's a shame. My dear friend, Jesus Christ hung on Calvary. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for your sins. He died for you. I pray that somehow today you will be made to realize that he cried, "It is finished." The work of God was done. A remarkable verse of scripture in the Holy Bible, where God himself says, "I am the beginning and the end. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith." Yes, my friend, Jesus was the author of our faith, and he finished and accomplished what faith was supposed to supply for mankind: salvation. Isaiah cried out, "Who hath believed our report?" Who in the world will accept this kind of message about the salvation of men through the blood of Jesus Christ? "Or to whom," he said, "is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up, yes, and he shall be despised and rejected of men, but in the process he will be wounded and bruised and beaten for your sins and for the healing of your body." John the Revelator saw him with hair of wool and eyes of fire, and he cried, "I am he that was dead, but I'm alive, and I live forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell and the grave. And because I live, you also." Many times in my preaching across this nation, I try to emphasize the fact to the saints of God that Christianity if its only reward is what you're going to get down here, is it worth living? The Apostle Paul said it very clearly when he said, the sufferings that we endure in this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. He went on to say, if in this life, through Christ, we have hope only, if this is all we expect to get out of being a Christian, what we have down here, the tears, the misery, the pain, the disappointment, then it's not worth it. He said, if we in this life, Paul wrote, have hope only, we are of all men most miserable. But that's not the truth. We're going to see Jesus one of these days. We're going to look upon his face. He's going to wipe all tears from our eyes. He's going to embrace us with arms of love that will never release us again to a wicked and a sinful world, or to be turned over to the foul workings of Satan. But he's going to set up a kingdom, and we're going to reign with him. No wonder he said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I'm coming again. I'm coming again. Why stand ye gazing, the angels cried on the mount, looking up into heaven, as though this is the end of all things? For this same Jesus shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go. He's coming back again. Jesus Christ is coming back again. I pray that you will be ready for him when he comes. I pray that God will speak to your heart. Mother, press on. Fight the good fight of faith. Father, hang in there. Don't give up. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in the Lord, and he will do thee good. For Jesus Christ is coming. Are you ready?
The Bible says,
are you ready?
In the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit among all flesh. You see, the devil is mad, so he has a revival going on too. Just because these are the last days, all around the world, we've traveled several times. And the world is waiting to know who can actually change your life. We want to know the answer to life. These last days. Tonight we have a very special announcement that he has prompted our hearts to tell you. Think about it these last few months.
It won't be long.
What a consolation. Heavenly Father, someone is weary and heavy laden today, pressed beyond all human endurance. Deliver them, Father, I pray, in the name of Jesus.
It won't be long.
Listen.
Some young wife, Lord, is about ready to commit suicide. Some young woman has lost her virtuous life. Her morals are gone. Some young man is hooked on drugs. Some father is pressed with the bills and the cost of living, Jesus. The church is being tried and their patience is being pushed. Lord, help us to look up now. Look up and lift up our heads, for our redemption's drawing nigh.
Count the years that pass. Count the years that pass. Count the months.
Every second, two people die. 50,000 teenagers commit suicide last year in this country alone. In the next 10 years, it is predicted that 10 million people will starve to death. Jesus Christ made it very clear. Except those days be shortened, there would no flesh be saved. My friends, these are the days of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the hour of the rapture of the church, the trying of the saints, the persecution of the Christian. I say to you, if there's ever a time when you need to repent of your carelessness, your slothfulness, your your unworthiness. Now is the time. Whatever you do, whatever you say, seek you the Lord while he may be not found. This broadcast is not just a chance thing. It's here for your good, for your good. It's here, my friend, that you might come to know Jesus Christ. Bow your head wherever you are. Invite him into your life. Confess your sins. Repent of your ungodliness. Church people, my God, you're caught up in the love of the world and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. Have you ever read the scripture, child of God, where the Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world? For any who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. Have you not heard, my friend, where the Bible said, if any man be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me? If my people, which are called by my name, will repent of their sins and humble themselves, what is the sin of the church? The sin of unconcern, denominational division, doctrinal differences, traditional formalities that is robbing us of the unity that comes through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus prayed a prayer, Father, sanctify them that they might be one. That prayer will be answered before he comes. And if you do not bow willingly and come willingly, then God will have to cause persecution and chastisement to come, that all men might come together in Christ as the church is designed to do. This is going to be a building fitly framed together. And I pray that you will be ready and willing to be in the building and the body of Christ. For Jesus Christ is coming for a glorious church that shall be without spot or wrinkle, that it will be holy and blameless. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Write today and ask for the free salvation packet. Just address your letter to me, Brother Stair, Savannah, Georgia, 31402. Did you know that Jesus said that he was a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? I'm coming down to the last 5 or 6 minutes of my broadcast, and I'm sitting here in my studio in Savannah, Georgia. And you know, I'm feeling the Spirit of God coming on me now, right here, right here. I can hear him talking to me, telling me somebody is suffering. Someone there is suffering with a severe high blood pressure. Your head feels like it's going to just bust right off. Your heart is pounding like a sledgehammer. You're frightened. Look, there comes Jesus into your room now. Be healed. Be healed, friend. Raise your hands and
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Lift up your hands and glorify God. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There's a man. You could sleep all night long. Your stomach was just burning with fire from that ulcer, that bleeding ulcer that you have. You've been sitting there this morning, and you've been praying, asking God to heal you. You've been to the doctor so many times, and he doesn't seem to help you. You don't want to go back. Place your right hand on that stomach condition now, sir. In the name of Jesus, I command the healing power of our God to flow into your body. Be healed right now, sir. Turn your faith loose, lift your hands, and praise him. Praise him. Worship the Lord. Glorify him. By his stripes, you're healed. Praise God. There's someone now listening. I can feel you. Your eyes are covered with a cloud. Cataracts have just blotted out your vision. You've been praying for God to restore your vision because you live alone most of the time. You can't get around, and you're bound by fear. It's come upon you, and you wonder how you're going to make it. Well, I say to you now, in Jesus' name, go get some water. Wash out your eyes 3 times in Jesus' name. Expect a miracle. Believe it to be done right now in Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. There's someone listening to me behind prison bars. Some young man. You have given up hope. Your sentence has been for life. You have not been able to control your emotions, and you've been very unruly, and you have no hope of parole. You don't really know why you do it. You cried out to God, but you seem to get no answer. But somehow this morning, by the power of God, you have been directed to this radio broadcasting station. God has me talking to you now, sir. I want to tell you something. If you bow your head right there and ask Jesus to come into your heart, you will feel his presence and his power. He will calm that spirit and drive that demon power from your life. You will be a new man. You will be accepted for parole in a due course of time because your life will be changed. Will you believe those words of faith, sir? Would you, young man? You can't make it the rest of your life behind them bars. Let Jesus fix it for you. Let him fix it for you. Let Jesus have his way. Heavenly Father, touch that young man. My God, touch him right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Write me a letter, sir. Let me pray with you. If you need something, just drop me a note. I'll send you some literature. I got some books I'll send to you. But above all, I'll write you back. I'll keep in touch with you. I want your hope to be alive in Jesus Christ. God bless you. The mailing address is simply Brother Stair, Savannah, Georgia, 31402. There, the crowd is hollering the name Jesus. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wait just a moment. Just a moment. Just a moment. Just a moment. I'm speaking to a teenage boy. You're 17 years of age. Oh, I can feel you so strong. My God. Son, you're bound on them drugs. But somehow today you're able to understand what I'm saying to you. God bless you. God bless you. Don't give up. Look, I tell you what you do. Run right now. Get a postcard. Write to me. Brother Stair, Savannah, Georgia, tell me about this broadcast that you've heard me today. We're going to put your name on a special list, and we're going to pray with you. God is going to set you free and use you. Your life will be hid with Christ in God. Do what I tell you now, sir. Young man, go ahead right now. Don't let nothing stop you. In the next 15 minutes, have that card or letter in the mail to me. Brother Stair, Savannah, Georgia, 31402. I feel God moving across my audience today. Can I be a blessing to you? If you have a special need, a special problem, write me now. Let me minister to you by mail. The Bible says whatsoever you say, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say shall come to pass. It shall be even as thou hast said. I want to thank you for listening today. This is Brother Stair with the Overcomer Ministry. We're going to have another 10-day camp meeting in Walterboro. The phone number at the campground is 803-538-3892. For 10 great days, September the 1st and September the 10th, Friday night, the first service, 8 o'clock, two services every day until the 10th over Labor Day, 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. You are welcome to come and spend some time with us and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. We're going to have another payment coming due on that motel. It's the biggest one we have. Once it's out of the way, it won't be so difficult, I don't believe. But whether it's large or small, nothing's too hard for God. But we have to raise $6,000 for the month of September because we have to continue to pay on the motel. Plus, we have to finish off the down payment of $5,000. Would you share an offering with me today of $100 or $50 or $20? Would you do it? Let's pray. Father, my only hope is that you're going to speak to someone who could share a large offering for those who could spare a small one. Many of them will respond today. Let them do it now with their faith offering in Jesus' name, Lord. I praise you for it. I thank you for it. I thank you for giving us this miracle as you've done so many times in the past. And as they give them that blessing that they need to keep them going forward in faith. In Jesus' name, I ask it and thank you for it. Amen. And amen. You've been in tune with America's Praying Prophet with the Overcomer Broadcast. My mailing address for all letters, love, gifts, and all. Thank you.
And there was a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Jesus said, "No greater prophet than John the Baptist ever walked upon the face of the earth." He was a forerunner to prepare mankind for the Savior, Jesus Christ. He also made it very clear that there would be prophets in the last days who would come in the spirit and the power of Elijah to prepare this generation for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the International Radio Ministry of America's Praying Prophet. Yours truly, Brother Stair. The Overcomer Ministry is a ministry designed to prepare men to overcome against sin, flesh, and the devil until Jesus comes again. I was amazed. The other day, we were talking with someone who was a very religious person. They said they had never heard that Jesus was coming again. This generation is going to witness that great spiritual phenomenon. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. If I go away, I will come again." Don't touch that dial. I've got something very important for you to hear today. My mailing address is Brother Stair, Stair, Post Office Box 24, Savannah, Georgia, 31402. We're going to have another great 10 days of camp meetings at the Carolina Motel Campground located 4 miles north of Walterboro, South Carolina, on Highway 15. Beginning Friday, September the 1st, through Sunday, September the 10th, 2 services each day. You are invited and welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Brother Stair, America's Praying Prophet. I want to remind you that at the campground, we don't have no charge. We just ask you to bring an offering or do the best you can. We'll feed you what we have. We'll give you a beautiful place to stay. You may have to share accommodations, but so far we've been able to handle that very well. The phone number at the campground is 803 area code 538-3892. Camp meeting will begin Friday night, September the 1st. For more information, direction, you may write to me, Brother Stair, Box 24, in Savannah, Georgia, 31402. The next issue of the Overcomer magazine will be a phenomenal one. We are striving to release a 16-page edition. The title caption will be, 1979, Could This Be the End of Time? You want to get this issue in your home. Be sure to write the date for your free subscription to the Overcomer. Just write to me, Brother Stair, Box 24, in Savannah, Georgia, 31402. When you hear this broadcast today, perhaps God will speak to you to be a partner with me in spreading this message across the nation. I wish I could make you understand just how near Jesus Christ is coming. It's very, very soon. Thank you. I want to remind you that I will be here in the Boston area. All my friends in the Boston area, I will be here under the gospel tent, located in Cambridge, right opposite of Everly Ford. Why don't you plan to come and be with us? We'd be very glad to have you. That's right. I'll be here Sunday night, August the 20th, and Monday night, August the 21st, under the gospel tent in a great deliverance miracle service. These fine pastors of these churches invite you to come and spend the rest of the week with them as they continue throughout all of this week under the gospel tent in Cambridge, just a few blocks off of Main Street, or Mass Avenue, I should say, right opposite of Everly Ford Motor Company. Make your plans to be there. And God will bless you. Jesus Christ is Lord. God is alive. And he's doing well. Unbelievable, the pastors are roaring down upon us like a whirlwind from the outer limits of the universe. Awesome calamities will soon fall on this nation. Mankind will be terrified. This nation will stagger like a drunkard. Days of crushing confusion and terror will cause men's hearts to fail them for fear. Many parts of this country will languish. Crops will wither. Crime will become nearly uncontrollable. Laws will be twisted and defied. And the economy will totter on the brink of total collapse. The upraised fist of God is poised, ready to destroy pride and to condemn the self-proclaimed greatness of our nation. The peoples of this land are going to suffer for their blatant sins. The commander of the armies of heaven will soon come forth to shake this nation like a tent in a storm. The world will witness the curse of God against those who have twisted and forsaken his everlasting commandments. The joys and pleasures of life will soon be turned into mourning, and the merry-making will weep and sigh. Singing happy days will give away to a time of mob rule, chaos in city streets, homes, and shops locked up tight to keep our looters, and life will fall to its lowest ebb. Priests and people, masters and slaves, buyers and sellers, lenders and borrowers, bankers and debtors, none will be spared. The land will be looted, its spirit crushed. Then prophets of peace will go up and down the land, deluding victims with foolish counsel that all is well. Now I'm sure that your first reaction to the above prophecy that I have just said may turn you off. You may be thinking to yourself, it's just another one of those doomsday sermons that Brother Stair's always preaching. Another prophet of calamity trying to scare people. The truth of the matter is that history repeats itself. The predictions of coming calamities are not mine at all. They are the warnings of the prophet Isaiah, directed at his society centuries ago. The fearless prophet saw a frightening vision of approaching calamities and cried out. Listen to him. Isaiah chapter 21, verses 2 and 4. God is telling me what he is going to do. I see the land plundered and destroyed. When I hear what God is going to do, my stomach constricts with burning pain. Sharp pangs of horror come upon me. My mind reels, my heart races, and I am gripped by an awful fear. I can no longer sleep, and I lie awake trembling. Those are the words of the holy man of God, Isaiah, chapter 21, verse 2. Few would listen to the prophet of despair, especially the religious leaders, even though signs everywhere confirmed his vision. World armies were poised to attack. Leaders of various nations were preparing to betray one another to preserve national interests. Death echoed from the mountaintops. Valleys were filling up with anxious armies of hard-driving chariots. Archers crowded each other to practice their skills. Armories were being overtaken by government officials. So convinced the night of calamity was near, Isaiah called out one final message to the masses. Listen to him. Isaiah 21, verse 11 and 12. How much time is left? None. Your judgment day is dawning now. Turn quickly to God. Seek him now or never. The party is over. Yes, the party is over. Not as far as the masses were concerned. If calamity were truly coming, they would go for one more last fling. Listen again to the heart cry of the prophet Isaiah, because what he says has everything to do with us today. Read Isaiah chapter 21, verse 5 in the Living Bible. Look, they are preparing a great banquet. They load the tables with food, and they pull up their chairs, even in the midst of a warning of complete catastrophe, of complete destruction, of complete annihilation. Look, he says, they are preparing a great banquet. They load the tables with food, and they pull up their chairs. Instead of weeping and preparing and repenting, they sing and dance and play. They feast and drink, and they say one to another, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. You find that in Isaiah 22, verse 12 and 13. The prophet Isaiah lived in times of great prosperity. Babylon was thriving. It was an exciting city at the very zenith of growth and prosperity. Judah was an economically booming nation with its people safe and secure in their beautiful little homes. Jerusalem was a beautiful, peaceful city where people were busily engaged in buying, selling, marrying, divorcing, and indulging their every lust. Tyre was a booming seaport full of ocean-going vessels bringing merchandise from all over the world. It was the New York City of Isaiah's time, the merchandise mart of the world. It was an empire builder, a top trader of the world, a joyous land of tremendous history and tradition, sending out colonists to develop other nations. Life was one big party, and there seemed to be no end to the good times. People had become totally conscious of security and pleasure. But suddenly, a man of God appears and a booming voice is heard throughout the land. Listen to Isaiah. The party is over, he cries. Where did this prophet of God get the audacity to walk from city to city in his bare feet and cry? Isaiah 22, verse 2, 3, 5, 8, and so on. Here's what he said. Bodies lying everywhere. That's what I see coming. Multitudes will be slain by plagues. Your leaders will flee. And enemy armies will come crushing over the breaches in your collapsing walls. God will remove his protecting care. And all your feverish plans are in vain. The party is over, and that is final. The prophet Isaiah had seen a vision. It frightened him. He saw the enemy armies roaring out of the Negros desert to plunder and destroy that great city, Babylon. He saw the bustling harbors of Tyre going up in smoke and predicting that city would come crashing down in such chaos. It would go into 70-year depression. He saw Jerusalem and Judah being raped by enemy armies and the once proud inhabitants being paraded, marked naked through foreign city streets. He warned them that their homes would be looted and burned, their wives and children murdered, and the only remnant, a small group, would survive. Who could believe such nonsense? This prophet of God was called a fanatic. he was so maligned and really killed, he began to question himself. He said to God, "They laugh at me, and they say I speak in parables, but I know that all you told me is true." Babylon was destroyed by the Elamites, and the Medes who came swarming in from the desert. Judah and Jerusalem were carried away by enemy armies, and the seaport of Tyre was gripped by a massive depression that brought it to ruin. It is all documented history. God did exactly what he said he would do, and he did it right on schedule. Listen now to Jeremiah, the prophet, 7th chapter, verse 27 and 28 in the Living Bible. "Tell them everything that I will do to them, but don't expect them to listen. Cry out your warnings, but don't expect them to respond. Say to them, this is the nation that refuses to obey the Lord its God and refuses to be taught. She continues to live a lie." You know, many times as I preach to my audiences, I say, "My God, they won't hear me. They don't hear a word I say." I have told you time and time again, my listening audience across this nation, Jesus Christ is coming very soon. The mark of the beast, the Antichrist system, the world church, the world government is just around the corners, months, not years, but just a matter of months. And this system is going to be put into operation. Without the mark of the beast, you will not be able to buy or sell, go to the doctor, pay for your house, drive your automobile. If you take the mark of the beast, you will go to hell. That is it. What about today? Is God once again warning that his wrath is about to fall in all of its fury? Is the Holy Spirit of God warning true believers to get their houses in order? Are we living right now in the time Jesus described as the beginning of sorrows? Are we actually now seeing the beginning of the end? Is God once again sending to this, our drinking, reveling society, a final warning, the party is over? The answer to those questions is positively yes. God has always warned his people just prior to the outpouring of judgment and calamity. Just before it happened, Noah was sent by God to warn all who would listen that the party was over and that a flood was coming. God sent two angels, disguised as human prophets, to warn the righteous to flee from the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of the coming judgment. But in nearly every instant in history, God's merciful warnings have gone unheeded. The masses continued eating, drinking, marrying, divorcing, and feasting, and knew not, the Bible says, until the flood came and then took them all away. One bright sunny day, while the Sodomite crowds went about indulging their lust, fire bombs fell from heaven and consumed them in a white-hot holocaust. It happened just as God warned it would. America will soon be judged. The Bible predicts that in the last days young men shall see visions. Acts 2 and 17. The message I share with you is only one of many proclaiming that judgment is coming. It is a message completely endorsed by the predictions of Jesus Christ himself. I received it as I prayed and waited like others who have seen things that are coming. It is frightening, challenging. It is heart-stirring and heart-rendering. I see fearful judgments coming. They will not all come immediately, but I believe they will all take place in this generation. We are on the brink of divine judgment so severe, not one person will be left untouched. Jeremiah 6 and 17. I set watchmen over you who warned you. Listen for the sound of the trumpet. It will let you know when trouble comes. But you said, no, we will not pay any attention. I have seen the appearance of the finger of God against this generation. Isaiah 47 says you have advisors by the ton. You're astrologers and stargazers who try to tell you what the future holds, but they are as useless as dry grass burning in the fire. They cannot even deliver themselves. You get no help from them at all. There is no fire to set beside to make you warm. I must urge you people of God who are listening to me today, get your house in order. I know many of you will call me an alarmist, a sensationalist, a preacher of doom and despair. Critics will fault my methods, agnostics will mock the message, and even well-meaning ministers and church leaders will refute the message as not from God. Even before they have shut themselves in the secret closet of prayer to see if these things really be true, nevertheless, God's prophetic warnings will always stand the test of criticism, denial, and rejection. The greatest rejection will come from those who believe their vested interests are threatened. And the purpose of any warning is to nudge God's children into the perfect center of God's will and to prepare them for the coming crisis. It is always God's way to justify the impending judgment. A just God sends forth merciful warnings of what he's about to do. God seeks to melt men in the crudibility of affliction. Lamentations 1, verse 9. She indulged herself in immorality and refused to face the fact that punishment was sure to come. Now she lies in the gutter with no one to lift her up. O Lord, she cries, see my plight, the enemy has triumphed. My time is running out on this broadcast today. Let me just call your attention to one of the recent calamities and reverses in this country just recently. Texas suffered intensive heat over 100 degrees for 19 straight days. A drought burnt up the crops, scorched the land, and threatened the very existence of the people. And then it was reversed. Massive rains and floods came, literally wiped out whole cities, and destroyed everything that many thousands of people held dear. Earthquakes are coming. Rioting is coming. Economic collapse is coming. And all the things that you hold dear are going to be removed. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? My dear friends, Jesus Christ is coming. Before he comes, he is going to prepare his church that it will be without division, without schism, without worldliness. It will be a glorious church, without spot, without wrinkle. It shall be blameless and holy, committed to Christ as a bride. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. I say to you in all sincerity today, set your house in order. Prepare to meet your God. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And he's coming very soon. We'll pray in just a moment. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name today, I pray. I pray for a miracle to take place in the spiritual awakening of the listening audience today.
I ask you, Father, somehow, by the moving of your Spirit, drive these truths home to the heart of my listening audience. Sir Pastor, Evangelist, Missionary, Deacon, Church Member, Mother, Father, Son, Daughter, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in thee? O God, spare us, I pray, from ourselves. In the name of Jesus, save some young man or woman today by the power of God, through the grace of Jesus, through the blood of Christ. I thank you, and I praise you, my Father. Amen and amen. My time goes so quickly, I sure wish I could be on these stations every day. I hope that some of you people would write the station and ask them to clear time for me every day, 15 minutes, so I can talk to you each day. Then would you write to me and send me the most generous offering you can to support this kind of radio ministry that's warning this world and this generation to flee from the wrath to come? I need your offerings. I need your support. If you'll write me today to send a most generous offering, I would like to send you a copy of the book, The Soon Coming World Events. This book is a must for every Christian who is concerned about the soon return, and you want to be perfectly sure that you are ready and preparing rightly for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would urge you to get David Wilkerson's book, The Vision, and also the new book, Racing Towards Judgment. In any Christian bookstore, you can get these books. If I can find a way to get them, I will be glad to send them to you. I'm checking it now. Write me this week, Brother Stair, Savannah, Georgia, 31402. I need to have your support. I need several hundred of you to send me $20. The monthly payment on the motel is now due. This quarterly payment, $6,000. Will you help me clear it off? Please, pray about it. Pray about supporting this ministry and becoming a partner with me. God will bless you. Remember, I'll be in Cambridge tonight or tomorrow night, Sunday night, and Monday night, the 20th and 21st, under the gospel tent, just opposite of Everly Ford Motor Company, with the fine pastors and churches in fellowship. 7:30 p.m., the service will begin promptly tomorrow night and on Monday night. I'll be there. And the service will continue every night this week. Come and see us, won't you? Get your name on the monthly magazine subscription list. Remember the camp meeting here in Walterboro, South Carolina, September the 1st through the 10th. I love you. I'm praying for you every day. I pray that God will challenge your heart. May I hear from you this week? The address, Brother Stair, Post Office Box 24 in Savannah, Georgia, 31402. Until tomorrow afternoon, right here in the Boston station, or next week at the same time, this is America's Praying Prophet. I remind you, Jesus Christ is coming again.